It's time for the Situation Report with Jim Settley on the Pulse Morning Show, AM 620 WZON.
All right. Hey, if you've been listening this morning, you already know our man Jim Settley is in the studio. Jim, the Chief of Staff for UMaine President Susan Hunter. And we appreciate you being here.
Without T-Nail here, man, I'll be here every Thursday. I'll be here every day now, man. Now it's actually enjoyable. I was kind of hoping to come in and, you know, kick a little Weakland butt there, but I guess he's off doing whatever.
Yeah, he's off to greener pastures.
I wouldn't call him greener.
Yeah, maybe greener ball fields. He posted a video yesterday of himself wandering around at the football facility there at Foxcroft Academy. A field that I don't believe he ever was on as a player, but...
No.
Maybe he was a member of, the pep squad or something.
I'm thinking he was that guy in Revenge of the Nerds that collected all the jock straps.
And
he's not even here to defend himself today, right? Isn't he?
I hope he's listening.
This is fun.
I hope he's listening. Hey, we're very pleased as well. Jim has brought along a guest this morning. Pleased to introduce Dennis Munuve. Dennis, a native of Kenya, works in Tanzania, and he is participating in the Mandela Washington Fellowship. It's part of the Young African Leaders Initiative that is maintained by the U.S. State Department as part of the organizational structure here. Dennis, welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you.
I appreciate you being here. How did you become involved in the Mandela Washington Fellowship?
Well, in Africa, I have some few programs going on in terms of community development, in terms of infrastructure interconnection. And the U.S. government has been trying to empower young leaders for the next generation. And there was some sort of application that was supposed to be done in the last quarter of last year. And more than 50,000 young Africans applied for the program. And I'm privileged to be part of the group that qualified to come to the U.S. and hone my skills in terms of leadership, in terms of also networking.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations on your selection. It's a very limited group indeed.
Yeah.
When you consider what is currently a status quo with regard to leadership in the nations of Africa, what do you hope to be able to bring back in terms of leadership quality? What do you think is missing from government structures in nations like Tanzania?
Well, number one of the key issues in Africa is corruption. But corruption is not only a problem. The essential problem in Africa is a failure of leadership. And corruption is manifestation of that failure of leadership. What I intend to bring to Africa is a change of mindset, especially for the young people. The old leaders are not going to change Africa. It's the young generation, the young leaders, the technocrats, the guys who are making the policies that gonna transform Africa, and this is a group of people I'm gonna work with in terms of putting in new values for transparency, for accountability, and proper growth in most of the African countries.
That's a very tall order, Dennis. When you consider that some of the leaders, and I must say, Africa certainly has no particular hold on the notion of corruption in amongst people in positions of power or authority. It's an unfortunate reality throughout the entire world. I think it's maybe even just an unfortunate part of the human condition that hopefully we can begin to get a real handle on. But when you consider the notion that leaders who are currently in place, rather firmly ensconced, how do you go about affecting those changes? You really become reliant upon some of those young people that you spoke of, right? Making them aware that this simply isn't the way business should be conducted?
Awareness is key, number one, because I believe that the power lies in the people, and that is something that we haven't really capitalized in Africa. We are not holding our governments accountable. And when you look at the demographics, the young people constitute more than 70% of Tanzania, of Kenya, and it's the same trend in most African countries. If the young people can unite with a common vision of bettering their country, holding their leaders accountable, and invest in human capital in terms of education and changing the mindset, then Africa would really go far.
The idea of young people stepping up, becoming participants is certainly key to this. And it reminds me of a conversation that we've had here in this studio with members of a municipal government here in the city of Bangor. And we've talked about the different layers of government here in the United States. You've got federal government, you've got state government, you have county level government, you have municipal government. And what we have seen in the highest levels of that government, at the federal level, just a real sort of malaise. There's gridlock in D.C. You hear it all the time. Municipal officials are now speaking openly about the notion that that gridlock at the federal level, which has in many ways crept down as far as the state level, is something that municipal governments and municipal officials are still relatively free of. They have the ability to really affect change and do so at the local level. Is that where you would see an appropriate starting point for taking these conversations back home?
Yeah, that's a starting point for me. But in the short term, I also look forward to going into an elective post. That means I want to run for parliamentary elections. Because once you're in parliament, you actually get to influence the decision, you get to influence the policies, you get to influence the environment in terms of conducive environment for the youth, for business, and what you want your country to go.
You talked a little bit about how you got into the program. What's the time frame on this? What is your length of time within the fellowship, the Mandela Washington Fellowship, and what is the anticipated time of your return? You're going back to Tanzania?
I'm going back to Tanzania. The program is a six-week program that includes academic coursework, leadership training, and networking. We're going to spend about 6 weeks here in Maine and then 4 days in D.C. to have a summit with President Obama and meet U.S. leaders. And after a while, we have to go back to Africa to really develop our countries and utilize the skills and networks that we have gained in the U.S.
Yeah, the Ali Mandela Fellowship Program is something that President Obama wanted to really kind of invest some time and some resources in when he took office. And, you know, in knowing a little bit about Africa, he knew that, and he's absolutely correct, and as Dennis has pointed out this morning, is that the future of Africa and the African countries really rests in a younger generation. Dennis, how old are you?
I'm 30.
30
oh
years
my gosh.
Old. So, yeah,
Here in Maine would say, you're just a pup.
But there's the future of Africa right here. You know, if you listen, so there's about, I think there's 25 fellows up at the University of Maine, and this is the third year of the program, of a federal program. And University of Maine applied. This is the first year they applied. You have to apply to be a unit to host. I mean, these are the future leaders. Some of these young men and women are going to be potential presidents, and we may be talking to the next president. Well, maybe they're not the next in a few years from now in Kenya. So, but they're exceptional leaders in their own communities, and to have them at the University of Maine, and they go to, you know, they usually you see some real big schools, all the Ivies, of course, and the Berkeleys and Stanfords. And I've kidded around with Dennis, as you can probably guess a little bit. Is like, so what were you thinking when you were going to Bangor, Maine? It's not Washington. It's not New York, Atlanta, Chicago, Los Angeles. It's Bangor, Maine. And what you have found is an immense diversity that you were surprised to. And what I've pointed out to Dennis is that people live up here because they want to live here, and they don't want to live in Washington, New York, Chicago, Atlanta, etc.
Yeah.
And there's a definitely huge wealth of experience within Maine, especially at UMaine. There's a lot of diversity in terms of ideas, in terms of the cultures, and this is something that is quite striking for me.
When you consider your time here in Maine, how does it impact your perspective of what's happening here in the United States, to be here, to spend time here, to get a bit of a taste for how people in the United States are reacting to the news in our country that becomes news of the world? When you look at, for example, the current political landscape coming out of Washington, D.C., and the the rather messy process by which we're trying to determine our next leadership. What is your reaction to that?
Well, it's quite interesting. What I normally say, there's a lot of Trumps in Africa. And there's a lot of Clintons in Africa as well. So it's quite interesting to see the democratic process that is ongoing. But the most critical part of that process is that there's a lot of discussion within the American population that is open, that is transparent in terms of people coming out, giving critics or giving points on this. This we don't see very much in Africa, and I think this is where we need to go.
There's some truly horrific stories coming from that continent with regard to levels of corruption and the lengths to which some individuals will go in order to protect their own very corrupt networks of supporters and to retain power. There are times when to effect change, especially once you reach sort of national levels, it can be an incredibly dangerous scenario. Is that concerning to you? I know it's perhaps something in the back of your mind at best when you're here in Maine and you're somewhat removed from that, and the Orono campus is a somewhat idyllic setting, but
I normally see some of the old leaders we have are a danger to the African continent. They're not an asset, some of them, because some are extending their term limits in office. Some tolerate corruption, and corruption is a cancer for the African society. And there's a strong network that really has to be fought. The unfortunate situation for the moment is that actually most of the countries you find that corruption is actually factored as a business expense, which is quite unfortunate. But to change that, we need to really change the mindset of the young people. That needs a generation change, and that is why I think some of the programs we have in, like the Mandela Washington Fellowship, mm-hmm. is good for changing the mindset of the young people and closing this generation gap.
You know, one of the other things that Dennis is, not the other things, but the thing that Dennis is most interested in is improving infrastructure and renewable energies. And so then you start to think of the comparisons. This is probably one of the best places that he could be to, you know, look at what's happening in this state with respect to infrastructure, improving and repairing infrastructure and renewable energies. And Dennis talks a lot about how do you affect policy, or he asks a lot of questions. How do you affect policy when people don't want to, you know, don't want to, you know, when you've got fracking and gas is $2.35 or a big natural gas. So you know, he's a solar guy by trade, trying to get his government or both governments of Tanzania and Kenya to be interested in solar power. And it's a tough, and it is tough with wind power and some other things in this state.
Yeah, indeed it is. The hold over a number of people in positions of power, thanks to the very moneyed interests of the petroleum industry, can make it incredibly challenging to effect change toward a more renewables-based power infrastructure. That sounds like an excellent direction to attempt to move, though, when you get home.
Yeah, also the unfortunate thing is that most of the leaders of most of the industry look at the short-term gains of businesses or the profit margin, but not the long term. And when you start talking about climate change, that's a big concern for the African continent.
When you consider the idea of people concerning themselves first and foremost with profit margins, you mentioned human capital earlier. The simple fact is the similarities that we share as you know, human occupants of the planet are substantial, and yet they're commonly overlooked in pursuit of monetary gain. That's what requires a real change of mindset, isn't it? We need to begin to think of one another with a much greater level of compassion and understanding.
Yeah, I think we need to think of existence as a human tribe, because the planet has supported our life for billions of years. We have seen a huge growth in terms of the carbon footprint globally, and whatever happens in America, whatever happens in Europe, affects Africa. Climate is interconnected. You cannot delink one part of the world with the other.
Yes.
And this is where we need a sort of a cooperation, both at the international level in terms of combating issues to deal with carbon emissions.
Have you had an opportunity to wander the campus and to look at some of the work that's being done? I'm thinking of research in particular into for example, offshore wind, some of the developments that have come out of the Advanced Composites Center there at the University of Maine. This is really some truly leading-edge work that's being done in a number of different scientific endeavors, and it's happening right in the backyards of people here in the Bangor area.
I will be visiting the windshow facility with the wind facility next week.
Excellent.
So I think I'll have a lot of to see and also to gain in terms of experience. But one thing to note is I'm very much encouraged by in terms of how Maine has maintained its natural capital, especially with the forest covers. This is quite quite unique. And I think it's a huge asset for Maine and also for other states.
A lot of people forget the fact that there are certainly parts of the state that still to this day could be readily classified as rainforest because of that forest cover and because of the annual precipitation that we receive. When you consider that that return home, is there one particular thing that you will miss about your brief time here in the States?
Well, number one, the Mainers, I think they are very warm people, very diverse, think in a different but good, unique way in terms of... I'm a white person normally. You don't want to sit next to me in a plane because I'll be asking, why are you doing this? Because I'm very curious. And I find that also with the Main people, it sort of brings up good discussion and also... it's progressive in terms of how we think. So the diversity, the warm hospitality, and the good ideals, I'm going to miss that a lot.
That's Dennis Manuve. Dennis from Nairobi, Kenya, working in, is it Dar es Salaam?
I'm working in Dar es Salaam, yes.
Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and participating in the Mandela Washington Fellowship. Sir, we're pleased to meet you, and we're also very excited that you're spending some time on the campus of the University of Maine. It's another great example of the fabulous work that's been done by the School of Policy and International Affairs. I got to ask you though, I'm sitting here and we're having this conversation, and I notice you've got a wedding band on, and that looks awfully shiny.
Brand new, as a matter of fact, isn't it?
That looks
pretty new.
Yeah. How new is that? How long have you been wearing that?
Well, it's 3 months now.
Oh, wow. My God. Hey. Well, happy anniversary.
Thank
Congratulations.
You. Thank you.
Three months in. Oh, yeah. My gosh, you're very welcome. I wish the best to you and your brand new bride. Congratulations. That's terrific.
Thank you.
You need to say something to her. This is being taped.
Yeah. Go ahead. Right. What's your bride's name?
Prisca.
Prista?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful name.
Yes. I love her very much.
I'm certain that you do. Yeah. I'm certain that you do. And that was a smart play there. Dennis Manuve, it's a pleasure to meet you, sir. We wish you all the best. And when you find yourself in one of those leadership positions... maybe we'll come and visit you.
Thank you for having me. I'll invite you to my inauguration.
Tremendous.